In about 2 weeks, opening ceremonies will kick off the 2010 Olympic Games of Vancouver, British Columbia. Organizers have been investing, building, and cleaning up with one question more important than any other. When thousands of cameras are trained on Vancouver, what kind of city will people see? And after 7 years, nearly $10 billion, changes to Canadian law, and the organization of nearly 20,000 security personnel, Vancouver Olympic organizers are determined to make the answer a positive one. But another group will be working hard to show the world what they say is Canada's dirty secret, the centuries-old exploitation of Indigenous land and resources by various Canadian governments. This unfair treatment is not only rampant today, Aboriginal groups say, but it has accelerated over the past 7 years in preparation for the Olympics. While it's impossible to stop the Olympics, the goal of Indigenous protesters is simple. Gary John is the former chief of the Statliam Indian Band. They've been engaged in a decade-long battle to prevent resorts being built within their territory by developers who were granted building permits by the provincial government.
Governments in this country are hoping that we'll just allow the Olympics to happen and not raise these issues. But there's corruptness, there's greediness here, and people are being made to believe and having it appear as if everything is just one big picnic here every day. The track record for British Columbia and Canada is atrocious. And that should be held up for scrutiny by other countries. We just can't lose this opportunity to get the message across.
British Columbia is unique throughout the world. The vast majority of the province is Indigenous land. Before BC was incorporated in the late 1800s, the federal government passed a law making it illegal to stake claim to any Indigenous land without a treaty. Only a handful of treaties have ever been made, retaining what Canada's Supreme Court decided was an Indigenous constitutional right to the title of most of the land in BC. But still, the government of British Columbia has continued to sell historically Indigenous occupied land to private interests.
And this is a common position among Indigenous people in the province here, and it's a position of sovereignty.
Gord Hill is from the Kwakwaka'wakw Nation. From Vancouver, he maintains the No2010.com website and is part of the Olympic Resistance Network. He explains the hallmark slogan of the Indigenous opposition to the Olympics, No Olympics on Stolen Native Land.
All this land is non-treated, therefore unceded, unsurrendered Indigenous land, which the government lacks any authority to govern over. They're violating their own laws, and that's the basis of the slogan, No Olympics on Stolen Native Land. We use it so that they understand the colonial history of this province and how the Native people were dispossessed of their land.
Even more valuable than the land itself are the resources within Indigenous territories. Former Chief Gary John says that many have gotten rich through mining, oil, gas, and ski resorts, but not all benefit.
A lot of our people are poor, but it's not because our land base is poor. We're poor because the wealth that's been generated from the use of our lands and resources isn't being shared with us. So the province of British Columbia has taken all of those revenues and using it, they say, to run government, but they're using it to continue to ride roughshod on us.
As Gary John continues, he explains how the effect of the exploitation of Indigenous land and resources is not all conjecture.
The motto for British Columbia right now and leading up to the Olympics is it's the best place in the world to live. Well, it might well be, but not if you're an Aboriginal person living in this province. According to the Human Rights Living Index at the United Nations, Canada has been one of the top 5 or 8 for the past several years. Well, if you apply that same scale to Indigenous people here in British Columbia, you drop all the way down to something along the lines of 63rd.
John is close. It's actually 47th among peoples of the Third World. Additionally, Indigenous people in Canada have the highest rates of unemployment, poverty, suicide, violent death, drug and alcohol addiction, imprisonment, HIV, and cancer. Aboriginals represent 32% of the homeless in Vancouver, but less than 5% of the total population. Not all Indigenous bands and nations are impoverished. For a few select tribes, the Olympics have already been a financial windfall before the first gold medal has even been won. The Vancouver Olympic Organizing Committee, more commonly called VANOC, reached a historic agreement with 4 Indigenous nations, the Lilwat, Suquamish, Musqueam, and Tsleil-Waututh, collectively called Four Host First Nations. For the first time in the history of the Games, Aboriginals are an official host of the Olympics. Indigenous participation did not come cheap. Each of the four Indian bands received tens of millions in money and land. And now Vanuatu can rightfully proclaim that they have Indigenous support. But this agreement has created another focus of Indigenous opposition.
You guys are all selling out. You're all betraying your people.
A small group of Indigenous women crashed a press conference in which a First Nations chief attempted to explain how the Olympics will benefit Native people.
You need to love your people and be there. These people are exploiting you. The Olympics exploit people. The Olympics kills people.
The real effects of the Olympics on the various Indian bands and tribes will probably not be known until long after the athletes and tourists file out of Canada. If things go as Vanuatu officials hope, and Indigenous groups fear, business investors will come back with an eye on British Columbia land and resources. For the nearly 300 Native bands and nations, there is more at stake than gold medals and national pride. They are protesting to preserve their land and heritage. For KBCS News, I'm Adam Vaughn.